All right, good morning, everyone. So I just want to share with you two short ideas. One from the Chiddush Arim, and one from the Svas Emes. The Svas Emes one, if you happen to have the booklet in front of you, you could see it. If not, I'm just going to say it out. It's on page 26 in the booklet. There is an incredible insight of the Svas Emes, the Ger Rebbe. So the Svas Emes writes, I'm going to quote to you a Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah writes, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Kol maaseh bereishis b'kamasa nivru'u l'da'ato nivru'u l'tzivyonon nivru'u. So literally translated, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, everything that was created, kol maaseh bereishis, everything that was created, b'kamasa nivru'u. Koma literally means height or stature. So Rashi says, b'kamasa v'haynu eitz pri ra'oi hayaliton pri miyad. Everything that was created in a finished state. So we know again that it's not the pshat that God created the trees and then the trees took time to sprout fruit. Everything that was already created in an already finished state. Ledaitam nivru, Rashi says, shalom im chafetzin liibaros. Rashi says something amazing. Before Hashem created any aspect of nature, the natural world, He consulted, He asked, do you want to be created or not? We'll come back to that in just a moment. And b'tzivyonon nivru, Rashi says, b'defus kol echad. Everything was created b'defus, in the form, in the image, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had ordained that it be created. So the Svas Emes has a beautiful insight on this Gemara, specifically focusing on the concept of ledaitum. Because this statement is incredible. What the Gemara Bishop Ben Levi is saying is, before Hashem created anything in this world, He consulted with the entity. So He asks the animals, do you want to be created? He asks the earth, the trees, which of course also by extension means He asked who? Us. He asked man, do you want to be created or not? Now before we go on, I want to tell you the drama of this Gemara. You know, I was thinking this morning as we were davening in the downstairs of the hotel, how incredible it is that after everything that's happened in this country, that there's a minion of Jews davening. And also, I think for many of us, it was great because we actually got to daven. No one was rushing anywhere, which was an incredible thing also, to be able to daven and just to daven and to focus. But if you notice in Birchos HaShachar, if you notice in the morning blessings, so all of the brachos are structured in a certain way. We say, Shalom Asani Goy. Thank you, Hashem, for not making me a Gentile. Right? We go, if you look at the brachos, we speak about what we're not. But we never speak about a positive bracha. I don't say, Sha'asani Yisrael. Thank you, Hashem, for making me a Jew. Why not? So we know that there's a fundamental dispute in the Gemara. Noach lo la'adam shenivra, o Yosef shalom nivra. Was it better that we should be created or not created? And this is a fundamental machlokis. This is a fundamental dispute in the Gemara. Can you imagine this? That the rabbis and the Talmud are having a dispute. Is it good to be created, not good to be created? And what's the conclusion of the Gemara? The Gemara's conclusion is, Noach lo la'adam shalom nivra yoser mishenivra. It would have been better to have never been created than to have been created. V'achash nivra, but now that we've been created, so the Gemara says, Yemashmish b'ma'asav, or Yefashfish b'ma'asav. The Ramchal, in his Mesilas Yesharim, has a beautiful explanation of this. Now that we've been created, so a person has to introspect in a forward way, and has to introspect in a retrospective way. Perhaps it would have been better to have never been created, because by definition, the soul's existence in this world tarnishes the holiness, the purity of the soul. But now that I'm here, essentially the rabbi is saying, make the best of it. Now that you're already here, do something great. Now that you're already here, do something magnificent. If the soul had to leave Shamayim, if the soul had to leave the celestial sphere, if the soul had to leave the warm and loving embrace of God, if I'm here already, I better do something about it. I better maximize my 120 years. I better do my best to do something noteworthy, to do something meaningful, to do something magnificent. But the Sfas Emes points out something amazing. He says not everyone agrees with this conclusion of the Gemara. Not everyone agrees. Noach lo la'adam shalo nivra. That it would have been better for a person not to have been created. And he quotes this Gemara. The Gemara explicitly says that before man was created, Hashem asked the neshama, do you want to come down to this world or not? And obviously, if we're here, what must have occurred? We must have said yes. Right? Someone said yes. And in fact, the Sfas Emes quotes the Zohar that says, and this is amazing, that every time before a neshama, before a soul comes down to this world, Hashem takes that neshama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks that neshama, and he says to the neshama, do you want to come down to the world? And not only that, the Sfas Emes says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows the neshama everything that is going to occur over the duration of its lifetime, and says, do you want to come down into this world? And the neshama only comes down if it says yes. The neshama, the soul, has to agree to the life that it's going to be given before it comes down. If the neshama says no thank you, if the neshama, if the soul says I'll pass, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not make the soul come down to this world. And the Sfas Emes goes on and he says something beautiful. He says that when God first asked the neshama, I guess the neshama of Adam HaRishon, of Adam, do you want to come down to this world? So Adam HaRishon, and the Sfas Emes quotes the Zohar, he says Adam HaRishon said yes, but with a caveat. And what's the caveat the Sfas Emes writes? He says, "Vahinu shekol haberuim bacharo kol echad siur hamiyuchad lo." Every single one of the creations, and again, he's focusing on this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Every single one of the creations not only had to agree to be created, but they chose a form. So the ocean looks like the ocean, because that's the form it chose. And trees look like trees, and animals look like animals, and everything looks like what it looks like. Not only because it agreed to come down, but it agreed to choose the form. V'ha'adam. So what's the form that we chose? Says the Sfas Emes. V'ha'adam bachar l'chelko chelek eloka mima'al. Man says to God, I'll come down. I agree to life in this world, but I want to choose my form. And the form that I choose is to resemble you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the form I choose. I want to look like you. Chilek Eloka Mima'al. Very reminiscent of the verbiage of the Balatanya at the beginning of Tanya, that man is a chilek, the neshama is a chilek Eloka Mima'al Mamish. The form we choose is that I want to look like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to look like a God, whatever that means. It obviously is not a reference ultimately to our physicality, to the physical shell we call our body. But the most important part of our persona, which is our soul, which is our neshama, somehow resembles HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'adam bachar lechelko chelek elokam ima'al unekuda pinimis zaka utahora. God, I'll choose to come down, but on one condition. I want to resemble you. I want to look like you. Kach b'chol shana, this is actually a piece of the Sfas Emes by Rosh Hashanah. He says, Kach b'chol shana, zocha ha'adam l'ischatshus hanakuda ha'penimis, l'fi b'chiraso ritzono, hischatshus shetalava osa l'chol yimashon. We have to go into the Rosh Hashanah piece right now. But understand the profundity of the Sfas Emes' words. You see, when somebody were to ask you what you look like, so you would say, normally we would use physical descriptors. I have dark hair, light hair, I'm tall, I'm short, I'm in shape, not so in shape, whatever. I have blue eyes, brown eyes. We are physical descriptors. Says the Sfas Emes, when you ask a Jew, who do you look like? The answer is not, well, I was going to say the answer is not your father or your mother, but the truth is the answer is your father. But it's the father with the capital F, right? It's the Tata von Himmel. It's not your physical, biological parents, who your body may look like. But if you ask me who I look like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because for each and every one of us, before we came down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took our souls in His warm embrace. And he said, beautiful neshama, do you want to come down to this world? Are you prepared for this life? Are you prepared for the trials and tribulations, for the challenges? And each and every one of our neshama said, yes, but with one caveat. My dear father, I want to look like you. Give me a piece of you inside of me. Give me that nitzutz, give me that spark of you inside of me. Tell me that I will always look like you, and I'm ready to come down. Sometimes the greatest challenge in life is we forget that we look just like our father. We forget that we are the chelek eloka mima'al. We forget that we look just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, sometimes we become a little fashmutzed. That's Latin for dirty. Right? It's a joke. Right? We go ahead and sometimes we become covered with layers of just different stuff throughout life. And so the image becomes obscured. The image is no longer visible. The image is no longer discernible. But when you peel away all the layers, we look just like our father. And there's another piece of Sasana says, which is we know all of our challenges before we even come down to this world. The neshama knows every single peak and valley of life before it comes down. And it only comes down if it actively agrees and embraces those challenges. Sometimes we say the statement of God never gives you a challenge you can't handle, and it seems a bit trite. Seems a bit trite. But the truth is, the Sfas Emes says it's unequivocally true. It's not the pshat that God doesn't give me a challenge I can't handle. It's that my neshama knew all of the challenges from the beginning and yet still agreed to come down to this world. The neshama has an out. It has an exit. But it still agreed to come here. The knowledge that we are not just created in the image of God, but that the image of our Father is embedded inside of us. The knowledge that our neshama knew about every single challenge before it came down, yet still decided to come down, is something that should give us incredible chizik, incredible strength to face all the difficulties and vicissitudes of life ahead. That's the Sfas Emes. Let me share with you just a quick insight of the Imre Emes. Sorry, I'm Chidush Arim. So the Chidush Arim, I didn't include this in the source packet. The Chidush Arim says something amazing. He quotes the Pasuk, and it's amazing how you see these incredible words of the Rebbe's, and these words are always meaningful. But I think especially in the context of the trip we're on, they'll be even more meaningful. So the Chidush Arim quotes the Pasuk from Devarim Perek Tes Pasuk Yed Zayin. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember again, Chumash Devarim is a history lesson. It's Moshe Rabbeinu telling the new generation that's about to enter into the land of Israel about everything that unfolded over the last 40 years. So in this particular pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them about the horrific episode of the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. And as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu takes the luchos, he takes the tablets, he throws them down and he smashes them. And the wording of the pasuk is as follows: Ve'et pos v'shnei aluchos ve'ashlachem me'al shtei yadai ve'ashabrim le'eneichem. The Rebbe says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I took the luchos, I took the tablets, I threw them down from my hands, va'ashabrev le'enechem, and I broke them in front of you. And asks the Chidush Harim, why do you need that last phrase, va'ashabrev le'enechem? I broke them in front of your eyes. Of course I broke them in front of your eyes. Right? Klal Yisrael saw everything that Moshe Rabbeinu did. It must have been an audible gasp. Can you imagine Moshe Rabbeinu descending from the mountains with a set of tablets that were hewn by none other, written by none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, than God Himself? Moshe Rabbeinu sees that the people are dancing around the golden calf, a god of their own making. He throws down the luchos, v'ashabrei b'le'inechem, and I broke them in front of your eyes, and listen to the words of the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, I only broke them in front of your eyes. But in reality, even the initial luchos, even the first set of luchos, are still in existence, are still whole. They're only broken in front of you. But in the ruchniest level, in the realm of spirituality, the Torah is whole, Klal Yisrael is whole, and even the first set of luchos are whole. Hechad Yerushalayim goes on and he says something amazing. Sometimes the things in life which look broken are only broken to our human eyes, are only broken in the way we see things, in the way we perceive things. But in the true view of the world of the universe, they're absolutely, completely, and unequivocally whole. Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to give Klal Yisrael incredible chizuk. You're about to leave the miraculous existence of the desert and go into the everyday life of conquering the land, of settling the land. No more mun, right? No more miraculous bread from heaven. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to earn. You're going to have to make your way. And you're going to see a lot of broken things in this world. But just know, what looks broken to you is perfect in the eyes of the Creator. What's broken for you, understand, is truly whole in the cosmic divine plan. To illustrate this, and with this I'll conclude. You know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so the Pasuk says that He wanted to create Eitz Pri Osepri, fruit trees which created fruit. And Rashi HaKadosh comments on the Pasuk and he says, what was supposed to happen? The trees, the fruit was supposed to taste like fruit, and the trees were supposed to taste like fruit. That was the miracle of creation. Everything was supposed to taste like fruit. But then what happens? In the actual creation, it was Eitz Osepri. The fruit tastes like fruit, and the trees taste like, I guess, trees. Trees. So what's the pshat? So Rashi says something incredibly enigmatic. Rashi says that the earth did not comply with the divine directive. God wanted trees that tasted like fruit and fruit tasted like fruit, and the trees disobeyed. And what's the obvious problem with Rashi? Sorry. How do trees disobey? Disobedience is a function of free will. Free will is only given to man. Man is the only entity in this world that has the ability to disobey God. Trees cannot disobey. And there's a variety of different explanations. But in fact, again, if you look in Chiddush Arim, Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has the same idea as well, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us a lesson. You see, if the trees would have tasted like fruit, and the fruit would have tasted like fruit, that is a picture of perfection. It's harmony. It's equilibrium. Everything is sweet. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us, perfection is not found in this world. Perfection resides with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the celestial sphere. This is the world of imperfections, but they're imperfections by design. Or stated otherwise, God created an imperfect world perfectly. We sometimes think that the imperfections are like the flukes. The imperfections are the misfires. The imperfections are the short circuits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the imperfections perfectly because He gives us the opportunity to partner with Him in the creative process. Reis Tichidish Arim, if you see something that is broken, you know, we see things that are broken all of the time in this world. All of the time. Bless you. And many times when you see imperfections, what do you do? What do you do? We krecht, we nebach, and we move on. If you see something that is broken in this world, that is God's invitation to you to fix it. If you see something that is broken, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's invitation to you, partner with me in the creative process. I left things unfinished so that we could step up, roll up our sleeves, and fix the world, fix that which is broken. And in doing so, become a partner in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's act of creation. When you see imperfections, it is not enough to moan and groan. When you see imperfections, it's not enough to say nebach. When you see imperfections, you have to roll up your sleeves and try to do something about it. The imperfections our HaKadosh Baruch Hu's invitation to us to partner with Him in the creative process. Because anytime you see an imperfection, it's only Va'ashabreim Le'inechem. It only looks broken, but in reality, it's just waiting for you to step up and try to make it whole. This is what the Chiddush HaRin did. This is what the Sfas Emes did. The Imre Emes certainly did it in the aftermath of the Holocaust, rebuilding a decimated Chassidus. But these are the lessons that we take from these Rebbes in this sacred space, in their Beis Medrash. We take their lessons, ultimately, of recognizing that there is no challenge that is insurmountable because the soul knew about it from the beginning. We take the lesson of realizing that sometimes we don't recognize the beauty and the holiness we possess within. We think we're ordinary, and we forget that we are absolutely spiritually extraordinary. And we forget that we have the ability not just to be spectators in the creative process, but if we see something, someone, or ourselves which are broken, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispering to us, come and help me finish up the world. Come and help me with creation. We should be zocha to internalize these lessons, to live these lessons, and in that zechus, give an aliyah to the neshamas of the Rebbes and to all of the Hasidim who perished in the inferno of the Holocaust.
So,
Oh, you're so sorry.